Blog Talk Radio.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
It's an honor to be here. I'm please forgive me. I didn't catch your when she said your name.
Oh, Vincent.
My name is Vincent. It's Vincent Ransom. Yeah.
Vincent, pleasure to meet you, sir.
Okay, I'm gonna start off with the questions. Get right into it. We have a lot of them, so I'm gonna start. As the Bible says, and it's Genesis. How much does the Genesis movie cover Genesis, like creation, the flood, or whatever?
Oh, nice. On the Genesis movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let me just introduce myself real quick and I'll tell you about that. My name is Eric Hogan with Creation Today. Yeah, with creationtoday.org. It's probably the best ministry in the whole world. Our desire is to spread the gospel through the creation message and teach the next generation the truth about Christianity, and so we do that using what's called apologetics, or a defense of the faith. How do we know Christianity is true above all other religions? And our website is designed specifically to answer all of the questions people have about Christianity or the Bible or science, because our search engine indexes the top 20 websites in the world. So we're just putting synergy together among all the different ministries out there that are striving to make a difference and give people the answers that they so desperately need as they know how to know how to defend their faith. So that's what our ministry does, and we get the privilege of being involved in a movie project called the Genesis 3D Movie. I'm blessed to be one of the executive producers. I'm working with some just incredibly talented guys, Ralph Strain, who is a producer. He's the director and producer of the film. And what this is it's a 3D film depicting the creation of the world. So we're covering, you know, the 6-day, well, actually 7-day creation week, and we're covering all the way to the fall of mankind. But for the first time in history, instead of just hearing in the beginning God, you're going to be actually able to watch in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So I'm thrilled, super stoked about the Genesis 3D movie.
I can say I still my.
Yeah.
But yeah,
because
we'll see that question.
Yeah, like was watching before before you came on. I was watching your update, the latest update that they had, and I thought it was pretty cool. I was wondering though, since some people might be having to do radio spots. I don't see any radio spots that can be used so far. I was wondering maybe you could do that, because I know it's a movie, but it would be nice to have something to play for radio, like to advertise it. That'd be cool.
Absolutely. It is. What's really hard is getting the 3D to come out in radio so people can actually see it. That's what we're working
true.
On some new technology. Yeah, we're working on some new technology that might be able to do that, but so far we've had a hard time with that. No, but we do need some radio spots. We're working with right now with checking with distributors to find out exactly how this film is going to be distributed. So right now we're still in the fundraising phase of getting all the support that we need to finish up the project. So really, really excited about it. Hopefully within a year from now, we'll be finding out what theaters it's playing in and things like that. So
do you have the link that goes with to where they could give funds if they want?
Yeah, actually just the website, GenesisMovie.com. GenesisMovie.com is the website. And it has on there kind of updates behind the scenes, and there's also a place where you can be part of our fundraiser and help us get this into theaters and help impact people's lives. Here's what we've noticed. We've noticed that, you know, Discovery Channel and Nova and PBS, they all use kind of some cheesy animation and some experts, supposed experts, talking about evolution in millions of years and how mankind evolved from ape-like ancestors. And they get some cheesy animation, and people start believing it. And we went, we have got to turn the tide here. Let's use that and do it better than they're doing it, but use it to teach the truth of the gospel, the truth of the creation, the truth of the Creator becoming our Savior. And so that's really what we're doing with the Genesis movie, is we're going from creation to salvation and letting people understand the whole story of why Jesus Christ is so important. Because if we don't understand creation, it's really hard to understand salvation and what it's really all about.
Yeah, I think Vince has a question for you right now.
Yes, yeah. I have a little bit of a background in media creation. And will the movie itself be all computer-generated footage, or will there also be some live footage? If why one or both, I guess, why?
Well, what we're doing is this is a complete, as far as all the CG sequences are strictly CG. There's no footage in it at all. It's all done in a computer. The difference is it has a documentary aspect where we're asking experts questions about creation and about evolution. And so that we did film, and that was obviously, you know, people that we went up and we actually were able to, we worked with the Creation Museum and Answers in Genesis. And so for about 10 days at 6 p.m. when the museum closed, we were allowed to take over their museum. And by 10 a.m. the next day, we had to be out of there. So we worked all night long for 10 days straight, interviewing these experts, setting up their museum, rearranging things, breaking a couple things. I think they're going to forgive me for that, though. But it was just a lot of fun there, interviewing these guys there in the Creation Museum at night. So we definitely had nights at the museum, and it was at the Creation Museum. It was pretty cool.
Awesome.
I have a question for you about the you may not know how much work goes into getting projects done. You're talking about the audience. Talking about how much goes into it.
As far as how much goes into making a movie like this?
Yeah.
Well, how long have people been working on?
Oh, that's what he meant.
Wow, well, we've actually been working on the film for about 5.5 years, full time, as far as the animators and things like that. The computer's starting to render out the movie. We've been doing it full time for 4.5 years, it's mind blowing how long it takes to do a project like this. But the end result is phenomenal. Anybody who goes to GenesisMovie.com and watches the preview or watches the trailer, you'll be sitting there going, wow, this is amazing. And it really is. You're having to create something that doesn't exist. So you're creating the Garden of Eden. You're creating what the world might have looked like before the flood came. You're creating, you know, these animals, and you're creating what doesn't exist, and you're bringing it into the world. You're bringing it into the idea of thought and visual imagery. So it really is a lot of work to do. Just to give you an idea, you have to first thing you have to do is model what you have. So if you want to have a monkey in your sequence, you've got to have a model of a monkey. So once you get that model done in a computer, then you have to rig it. Rigging is where they just tell the monkey how it's going to move and what would its arms normally be allowed to do. So it kind of sets the properties of how the animal can move. And then you have to animate it. You have to say, okay, we want this monkey climbing up this tree. So here's the model of the tree. And then animator has to go in and say, okay, here's how it would move in order to get it to go up the tree. And the hand reach out and grab this. And everything has to be animated. Then it has to be, colored. And you have to put all the hair and the other things on the actual skeleton, so to speak. You have to actually put the things that make it look real. And then you have to tell the computer to render that out. That is incredibly time-consuming, even before you get to the rendering process. The rendering process is grueling. It takes 8 to 12 hours to render out one picture, just one frame.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 60 frames per second of video. So you can imagine 8 to 12 hours per picture and 60 pictures per second. It takes quite a bit of time to do that.
So
to say nothing also of the environment around, that tree that the monkey is climbing up might have some leaves in that might need to move as well. So there's more animation.
And you got to do lighting and environment. Mm-hmm. Is there rain? Is there dust blowing? All you're creating the real world in a computer is what you're doing.
Yeah.
So
and,
do you know how much you got finished of it?
We're about between 75 and 80% done. They told me that in January, at the end of January, I'll be watching the first full sequence of the movie. I'll be watching it myself, so I'll get to see it.
That's awesome. And I guess this might be another thing to help people understand just how much, work can go into this project, because, you just went through, just animation and modeling and texturing and rigging and all that stuff. How many people have been working on this project, maybe even not just the production, but also, above that?
Well, if I had to count up all the people that have worked on it so far, Mm-hmm. It's more than two. More than two.
Definitely the animator and the modeler, at least more than two.
Yeah, let's see here.
That's okay. If you don't.
It's a couple dozen people that have mm-hmm. put work into this so far, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. It can take a lot of people to make even just a few minutes of film, so yeah.
Yep. Man.
Well, do you know when it'll be released about?
You know, we're still working with distributors on that, so we just don't know the answer to that yet. We have to hold off until distributors kind of feel it out and give us their ideas of when they think a release date might work.
Yeah, I saw on the preview you also said that didn't know it yet. You mentioned about something about the 4D experience that might be happening. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so here's what's going on. Because we're doing the movie in 3D, we've got actually a company saying, hey, we'd like to turn this into a 4D experience. Now, 4D, if you've ever been to Hershey's Chocolate Factory, has a 4D theater. Most big amusement parks like Disney World, Disneyland, they'll have a 4D theater in, where was I? They've got the Bug's Life in a 4D theater. But that's where you sit in the theater and the environment actually reacts around you. So not only, like, if you see wind, or if you hear wind blowing, you know, in the movie, wind is actually blowing on you to make you feel like you're part of the movie. If all of a sudden something very hot happens, and all of a sudden you're blasted with heat. If it's raining in the movie, actually sprinkles of water are coming down on you. So it's a way to immerse the audience inside of the environment, inside of the movie. And so there's a company looking at turning this into a 4D theater experience, and we're still working with them on that to see what that would take, but that's going to require a lot more funding than what we've got to finish the movie. So we're waiting and praying on God's timing on that.
And
got some more questions for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say really quickly, you mentioned that you were trying to get this in theaters, it sounds like, and I guess where else do you think it would also be released? Are they going to be able to buy it on DVD? Is it going to be a download somewhere on the GenesisMovie.com website?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the usual course that a movie takes. It goes out to the theater. After that, they try to make it available to churches, to where churches can actually host an event and actually use it as a drawing card to bring people right into the church, because this message mm-hmm. is going to go from creation to salvation. It would work mm-hmm. out perfect to get it in there to their audience. And then after going to the church, it is made available as a small group curriculum on DVD, on Blu-ray, and things like that, and on digital download. So, yeah, there's several different ways it'll be available by the time it's over, you know, by the time we'll have every single different way out there. We've even got right now about 40 different countries that would like the Genesis movie put into their country. So we are...
Wow.
Consistently just saying, God, take this as far as you want to take it.
Yeah, that's great. One thing I think we kind of touched on a little bit is the scientific aspect. Like you mentioned, it's not just going to be, you know, in the beginning God, and then you just read through Genesis.
Right.
There will be, like, scientific collaboration or supporting evidences of what will be covered. Can you give us maybe like a little bit of a sneak peek of that or an overarching idea of how that will be done in the movie? Like, I know you mentioned there's going to be interviews and whatnot.
Yeah, let me just put it this way. Evolution will be the punching bag, and every single scientist will wear themselves out. And I don't know if the punching bag is still going to be hanging by the time the movie is done. That's pretty much the way it goes. They cover so many topics so thoroughly and yet so succinctly and so well-versed, it just blows my mind how much material they're able to cover in one movie. Because it's right now the movie is sitting at about, I think, 110 minutes long, so mm-hmm. just under 2 hours. And
wow.
They cover They cover the cavemen. They the number of things that they cover and show the truth about is just phenomenal. You know, it all ties right into what this big giant lie that's been perpetrated on mankind. This whole idea that there is no God, which in turn means there's no moral absolutes, which in turn means that we can do whatever we want, which is the idea of humanism. It's all about man. That whole worldview leads to so many bad consequences when you believe that. And what we're showing is, look, scientifically it doesn't work. Philosophically it doesn't work. Mathematically it doesn't work. There is no, morally it doesn't work. There is no conceivable way you can get rid of the Creator and have a functioning society. It just doesn't work.
No, I definitely am right there with you. And one thing I also wanted to say is we've kind of been grilling you a little bit, for a little bit of time now, and I wanted to take a moment to talk because I'd love to discuss or let you know how not only you but also your father has influenced my but also my friend's life. This was back in probably 1990s, early 90s, where your father actually came to my church on Williams Bay. And this is Wisconsin, by the way. He did a message, basically did his whole presentation on, evolution, the Bible, all this stuff. And I had very good upbringing. I went to a Christian school, lived in a Christian home, went to church. And it was a very good education as well. They actually taught us about creation and evolution and whatnot, but they didn't get as in depth as your father did. And they also didn't essentially, tell us about the indoctrination and the teaching of that, secular religion and how they do it and how they leave out some things. So, I mean, I think that him doing that allowed me to be able to not struggle, not have, moments where someone would bring something to me and I would be like, oh, wait, I've never heard that before. I was more prepared, essentially.
Right.
But I wanted to mention this specifically because my friend, he actually got a hold of your father's, talks. I think it was on, videos and whatnot. And as a result of that, he actually became saved. That was the factor that God used to draw my friend to himself. even with, things that happened years and years ago, because I think it was like VHS tapes that he was watching. He was still influencing. Still able to, God was still using it. And
amen.
I also wanted to mention really quickly, because then we'll be moving on to, I guess, a little bit of a different topic, but I wanted to mention how influential then also your ministry was on me. This is actually years ago you did a little bit like a four-part series on presuppositional apologetics with Sidham Grugenkate, and that was my first introduction to presuppositional apologetics. And and I was able to, I was actually looking for some of your father's videos, came across the videos on presuppositional apologetics that drew me into Sy's website, and it was just God's really used that in my life, and really made my faith unassailable. So I really wanted to say how blessed I am by your ministry, particularly in that aspect. But now that we're kind of on apologetics, and I've been getting behind on the Creation Today show, and if there are people who are listening to this who don't know about that, go to creationtoday.com and look it up. It's awesome. Very well done.
Oh, thank you.
And I also wanted to compliment you on, I don't think that I'm all that great of an orator. I'm not, my skills of talking are not good at much, you are much
better.
You and
me both, man. I got a long ways to go.
Well, I, I definitely acquiesce to your being, you're better at it than I am. Like, I've watched an entire show of yours, and you barely use any filler words. Like, this entire sentence, like, the sentences that I've been using just talking to you right now, I'll probably use 12, you know, if not more. But I wanted to discuss at this point battleship apologetics, the topic of the Creation of Today show that's been kind of going on for this season, I suppose, mostly. Can you, for the listeners who aren't familiar with you know, your ministry or the Creation of Today show, can you give us like a rundown of ship or battleship apologetics?
Yeah, absolutely. So we get the privilege of producing a show called the Creation Today Show. We just got done with season 4, and we're working on season 5 now. All of our seasons are actually available on our website, which is creationtoday.org. And you go there to our website, look under videos, and look under Creation Today Shows. We now have over 120 some episodes.
Wow.
Available now. They're a half hour each, and so that'll at least keep you busy for this week. I don't know what you guys are going to do next week, but it is a blast producing these shows. We interview experts, and we're addressing the topics, the core topics of today that people are asking questions about. How can a good God exist if there's so much evil in the world? Did dinosaurs really live millions of years ago? Is the Earth old or is the Earth young? What about carbon dating? So we get to talk about these subjects, bring in an expert for a few minutes to talk about it with us, have some fun with a science experiment, or go out into nature and check out a creation testifies, how creation gives testimony to God, and put all that into just a 28-minute and 30-second video for people to enjoy. So it makes great small group material for your small group. Actually, we're working on turning all of them into small group DVDs now, so those will be available at creationtoday.org. They point you to incredible resources. Some of the books and the DVDs that we discussed in there are so faith-building, it is amazing. You know, Vincent, like you were just saying, when you learn the presuppositional approach, you learn that our faith is really unassailable. You cannot come against it, and that's exactly what we have. And so throughout Battleship Apologetics, we use the acronym SHIP, S-H-I-P, and that stands for Science, History, Individual Experience, and Philosophy. So what we're using is each time we look at an area of apologetics, we're diving into either science or history or individual experience or philosophy to really get a good understanding. But maybe a good way to put it is there are three ways to argue. You can either argue on the faith level, or you can argue on the fact level, or you can argue on the foundational level. And so we want to bring each of those out in the Creation Today show. The faith level is kind of like somebody's testimony. You know, if you if I said, "Hey, Vincent, is Melissa a nice young lady?" I could you could share with me what you know about her, how the interactions you guys have had, but it would all be testimony based. There might be some people out there that listen to your radio program and go, "Melissa is not a nice lady," and then you're going, "Yes, she is." Well, now we're arguing one person's testimony over another person's testimony. It's a faith-based argument. Now I got to decide, who do I want to believe? The next level down, a little bit deeper, is to argue over facts. Now, Melissa, I'm not going to argue over your testimony, over whether or not you're a nice person using facts, because I don't have a lot of facts right now. But I could argue over the square footage of the room that each one of us is in. We could say, what's the square footage of the room? And that would come down to facts. What's the length? What's the width? Okay, multiply it out. That's your square footage. That's a fact-based argument. And oftentimes, this is called evidential argumentation. When we say, look at all this evidence, guys. Check it out. There is no such thing as a missing link. Check it out. The whole world was once covered by water, and we see evidence of this, you know. Check it out. The moon is getting farther away from the Earth. It used to be closer. It can't be billions of years old. Check it out. There's not enough salt in the oceans to represent 4 billion years worth of the oceans being here. Check it out at the erosion rate that we have today. Earth's entire continents would erode flat in 14 million years. So we could go fact after fact after fact after fact. We could keep going through all these different facts. That's a really good way to argue. But what if you get somebody who doesn't care about the facts? Now what do you do? Now you got to get down to the very, very foundation. and that foundation. We love to point this out in the show. For example, if somebody says, why would God allow so much evil and suffering? Well, hang on just a second. Where's the foundation for the idea of evil and suffering? You won't find the foundation of evil and suffering in an atheist universe. An atheist universe just says we're just molecules in motion. If we're just molecules in motion, there's no such thing as suffering. There's no such thing as evil. What about a Hindu's universe or a Buddhist universe? Hindus say, hey, we're trying to, Hinduism says, believes in karma. What goes around comes around. And if you're having a bad life now, well, you must have had a bad life and you must have lived a bad life in the past. Actually, there are many Hindu sects that would say you're not supposed to help other people. They have to, if they're suffering right now or they're poor, they have to keep being poor because otherwise they won't suffer enough and their next life won't be good either. So it's better to let them suffer in this life. Then you got the Buddhist. And, the Hindu, back to the Hindu. The Hindu says, suffering is your own fault. That's why there's suffering in the world. You caused your own suffering. Then there's the Buddhist that says, hey, all is an illusion. We're trying to reach nirvana. We're trying to reach this place where we realize everything is an illusion. So you're telling me suffering and pain is just an illusion? Is that all it is? So really, so in the Buddhist worldview, I'm not really experiencing pain. See, none of those match what our heart knows. Our heart knows that there is pain and there is suffering. And what can make sense of that is the Christian worldview. The worldview that says God made everything perfect and then man sinned and brought death into God's perfect creation. And so the reason we have suffering, the reason we have sin in this, or the reason we have pain in this world is because of sin. That's why. So the Christian worldview can actually make sense of that. So I always try to teach those different areas of argumentation. Do we argue at a faith level? And sometimes that's exactly what you need. You need to share your testimony of what God did in your life. But it's not going to be as powerful when somebody rejects that. You need to go to the facts. Well, let's look at the facts. And then even below that, the very foundation level is, okay, well, what worldview can make sense of the reality that we're experiencing today? So those are a couple of different ways to think about how we argue for the truth. And the Creation Today show does that. And, man, I'd love it if you guys watch that. That'd make at least four people. My mom, my two friends, and one other. Somebody else would watch it.
There you go.
Yeah. I think Vincent had a question talking about being a father.
Oh, actually, the first question before that, but I suppose I could go to that one too. I kind of want to cover this as well, just because.
Well, do whatever you want to say.
Oh, gotcha. we've got a list just to make sure we don't like.
Yeah, we made a list.
Ask multiple questions.
Nice.
But when it comes to that, the SHIP, the ship. Aspect of what you were kind of just discussing. Do you think that there is one that is more important or useful than others, or possibly, rank them in terms of what would be most useful for a Christian who would be going out there in the world, coming up against unbelievers and whatnot?
Yeah, I think that which one is more important depends on your circumstance, who you're talking to, and what you're talking about. Because if I'm talking to a young lady who's about to get an abortion, you know what? I can share all the facts I want with her. I can go through the science, and I can say, listen, scientifically, that's a child. That's a human being. I can go philosophical, and I can go, let me ask you something. When is it right to kill a human being? You know what? That may not faze her. Maybe what she needs in that moment, she needs a story of a young man, a young man who is born even though his mom wanted him aborted, and some of the amazing things that God has used his life to do. There are doctors alive today that are curing patients of diseases, and those doctors would have been aborted if it were up to their parents, up to their mom years ago. So maybe at that time they need a story. Maybe they need a faith journey, a faith approach to that. Other times it does take facts. Well, can you really believe in the resurrection? Oh, man, let me tell you why it makes sense. Check it out. Did you know right there, right after it happened, the Jewish people that hated Jesus said that the disciples stole his body? If the resurrection was faked, why didn't they just find the body? Why did they say they stole it? How come it was reported by eyewitnesses and that are you know, historically accurate? How come all the testimonies actually fit together and line up? You can go through all the facts and somebody can say, wow, we really can believe that, can't we? And I can say, yeah. But if I meet a skeptic mm-hmm. who's really not interested in the facts, they just want to make fun of the Bible, well, I'm not going to put mm-hmm. God's word on trial to them. Instead, I'm going to ask them how they can make sense of anything. How can they make sense of their questions? How can they make sense of their reasoning? They're using laws of logic that are universal, immaterial, and unchanging. How do you get those kind of laws without a universal, immaterial, and unchanging God? It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
How can the strictly mm-hmm. material universe that's always changing make sense of a universal law that never changes? It can't.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I go to the foundational level, so that totally depends on who I'm talking to and the circumstance.
Gotcha. So it's more of a situational thing. So there's no one that's more important or more useful than the other. It depends on who you're talking to. So people should be familiar with all of those things in order to have a good apologetic. That makes sense. And
you're hitting it on the head. Yep.
Cool. Okay. I'm glad I'm getting some stuff right. but then with the question that Melissa was referring to. Now, you are a father and I'm not. I do have, some curiosities. You know, if I do ever become a father, I'd love to know this. How do you approach teaching complex apologetics to a child or children? Because I know your ministry does a good job of doing that. Now, an example would be like, you know, presuppositional apologetics or evidential apologetics and such.
Yeah, well, you know, the beauty of that is, as I talk to my kids, I tell the story sometimes in one of my talks. It's called The Mind of the Skeptic. I tell the story of staying up till 2:00 in the morning arguing with an atheist over, you know, over evolution, over God, over all kinds of stuff. And this atheist kept saying, "We don't know anything. You don't know that's true. We don't know anything is true. Mm-hmm. We can't know anything." And I got frustrated. You know, here I am arguing online because somebody online on the internet is wrong and I've got to fix it. Oh, I'd be there forever if I really tried to do that. Well, mm-hmm. finally, about 2:00 in the morning, I shut down the conversation. I went to bed. The next morning, I got up to get my daughter Stephanie ready for school. She was 7 years old at the time. And I said, "Stephanie," out of frustration, I said, "Stephanie, you're not going to believe this. There are people in this world that say we don't know anything at all." She mm-hmm. sat there for about 5 seconds and kind of cocked her head sideways and then went, "Well, how do they know that?" And I realized, oh, my goodness, my 7-year-old daughter can poke a hole in this guy's argument. If my 7-year-old daughter can poke a hole in this argument, man, who am I to not be able to poke a hole in that argument? When somebody says mm-hmm. we can't know anything, they're denying exactly what they're saying. To say, "I mm-hmm. don't know anything," is to say that you do know something. It'd mm-hmm. be like me arguing against air. If I tried to say, "Hey, Vincent, Melissa, I don't believe in air," how mm-hmm. would you argue with me? Would you go get an air compressor or a leaf blower and blow it in my face? No, you'd say, "Listen, mm-hmm. it's you can't even make your argument if air doesn't exist." Or if mm-hmm. I said, "You know, Vincent, I don't speak a word of English." Well, you don't have to go get a dictionary to prove to me that I do speak English. I'm using it. My very statement, yeah, exactly, disproves what I'm trying to say. So even complex things like presuppositional apologetics, while I don't use that word, they really mm-hmm. are pretty simple to understand when you get right down to it. You know, mm-hmm. it basically teaches without God, you can't know anything. And that's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the best thing I can do is teach my kids the truth from God's word, which is what I want to instill in their hearts.
Awesome. So, Melissa, you wanted to take the next one, right?
How early is too early to discuss less concepts of apologetics and doctrine?
You mean with my children?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any children?
I think they're learning that pretty much by my lifestyle as I raise them, you know, from zero mm-hmm. till, you know, they can start kind of understanding more complex, you know, subjects. But from zero up, they're looking at my life, how I react, how I treat my wife, how I treat them. Mm-hmm. They're learning doctrine from the way I live way more than from what I try to teach. They are learning what's really going on, and they're learning what I believe through the way I behave. So it's not going to do any good to try to shove doctrine down kids' throats via textbooks, so to speak, if you're not mm-hmm. shoving it down their throat via the way you live and the way you act and work together as a family. You know, I'm mm-hmm. blessed. I've got a wonderful wife, Tanya. We've got three beautiful children. And I'm incredibly blessed to know that my wife and I are striving to glorify God in the way that we treat our children, in the way that we discipline our children, in the way that mm-hmm. we train them up to learn. You know, a kid will learn more from going and passing out tracts with you than you mm-hmm. could ever teach them sitting down on the couch going, okay, let me memorize this. Okay, now I'm not saying don't do that, because we do family devotions. My son and I were just reading yesterday. We read each night in the Bible. We were just reading, and we're getting right up to Nehemiah. We're about to enter Nehemiah, going and rebuilding the walls of Jericho, Jerusalem, not Jericho, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. So, you know, those are great things. My kids are blessed. I count it a privilege. My kids get to go to Pensacola Christian Academy, which is where they make the Abeka book curriculum, which is a phenomenal, phenomenal curriculum. And that's right across the street from my house. And so we get to walk across the street, and they get to go to an incredible Christian school. So I just feel blessed. But they're learning from zero all the way up. You know, there's ways of training up children. Are we really training them mm-hmm. up? The Bible doesn't say discipline them up. It says train them up, teach them. Mm-hmm. So from age zero, you know, they're learning, and growing. So that's a lifelong process right there.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess on the topic of children and I guess also kind of you were talking about, you know, doctrine and whatnot. I actually would love to touch on, I want to have people have an understanding of how important it is to understand the indoctrination of secular religious beliefs in our public schools, you know, like evolution and humanism and whatnot. Could you explain the importance of that to parents? Because I know there are a lot of people out there who might not know that.
Yeah, if you do have a student or a child in public school, you need to realize the public schools of today are not, I repeat, they are not the public schools of 20 and 30 years ago. The public mm-hmm. schools of today are not the public schools of 10 years ago. And mm-hmm. something you need to understand at its very core, at its very foundation, at its very basis, the public education system has strived to teach the kids without referencing God, without referencing a higher authority or a higher being. And what they've done is they've reduced the education to the foundation of what is known as humanism. Humanism mm-hmm. teaches the end of all being is the happiness of man. So the reason mm-hmm. we exist is for our own happiness. Christianity says, no, the end of all being is the glory of God. The reason we exist mm-hmm. is for God's glory. So when you take and send kids off to a public school, you need to understand, you need to be aware, they are going to a school and learning based on a completely humanistic worldview. That is mm-hmm. the foundation. It is a humanistic worldview. It's a humanistic foundation. So you need to understand that, and they are going to be taught lies. Now, I know not all parents have an option of homeschool mm-hmm. or an option of Christian school. Mm-hmm. I get it. I realize that. You just need to understand your kid is going off to war every day. You know, the way he did the indoctrination movie, I just interviewed him. Come on, my friend, Colonel Ray Moore. Colonel Ray Moore puts it, he says, why are we sending kids to Babylon to be educated? And mm-hmm. in essence, that's what's going on, is they're getting the secular education rather than the Christian education. And I would be a proponent of Christian education or of homeschool, if, you know, when those options are available. Absolutely. Yeah. I see I see that as God's role for us is to train our children. So I've got my kids in a Christian education, but I'm able to work with the teachers. I'm able to keep an eye on what they're learning. You know, I love it. I know I went through that same school myself, so I know what they're getting taught.
Awesome. Yeah, and I think that in the public school, there's, I mean, this is something that I think that even my school, which we had the Abeka books, which is neat, but there seems to be a lack of critical thinking. You know, that kids are being taught what to think and not how to think, and you know, how to think deeply. I guess what sounds good must be right. You know, is kind of what they're coming out of schools with. But I know Melissa had the next question here.
Yeah, but that is so true, though. What you're saying there is they are not being taught how to think. They're being taught what to think. And that, boy,
yeah.
It wasn't Adolf Hitler that said, give me the textbooks and I'll control the states. He knew, look, you give one generation with the textbooks and you control them.
Are you familiar with the Common Core? And I heard bad things about it. I've seen some of it, for example, too, just how absurd it is.
I didn't catch what you said there. Am I familiar with
what? Oh, sorry. I was wondering if you're familiar with Common Core, the teaching.
You know, I don't know a ton about it. I would definitely not be an expert or I'm probably a novice at Common Core. I've heard a variety of things. The main pushback that I've heard is, hey, here you have a national standard to be able to control what's being taught. I've heard good about it, and I've heard bad about it. I think there's some Christians out there that are doing a good job of trying to express and explain what's going on. So I encourage you to check that out. From what I understand, the American CSI, American Christian School Institute or something like that, ACSI, they put out a statement on it that I have not had a chance to read yet, but saying, look, there are some aspects that are good when it comes down to having these standards. Other aspects of, how do we want literature to be taught? Do we want to have some of the old, incredible literature of Shakespeare and things like that, or are we replacing that with newer, less known aspects of literature? So, anyway, I think there's sounds to me like there's pros and cons on both sides.
Well, something I think I've seen, say they'll have a math problem, and usually someone would do say, what's 10 plus 1? And usually you just add it together, 12, but then they'll have somebody put all these little stacks of things together to see what is 10 and what is 1. I think that's kind of an example of some of it, but not too sure. I think I've seen.
Like you said, it might have good or bad.
I'm not sure all the teaching of it, though. But some of what I've seen is kind of absurd, but everybody has to look that up for themselves, I guess. And Vincent, you have a question?
This is a little bit more on a personal level, I've spoken to old Earth creationists in the past, people who, profess Christianity and believe in, what man's knowledge is saying about the world. And I'm sure I'll be, speaking to others in the future as well. But one thing I'll mention is I don't think that this is an issue that, one should die on the hill of. This is not something that's going to, make me doubt someone's salvation or something like that because they believe in old Earth, in an old Earth creation story and whatnot. However, I think that it can cause some doubts to slip in very easily. And I've heard other people saying, once I started to doubt, the beginning, then what else can I doubt in the Bible? So with all that said, what are some of the best biblical examples that you can think of that you'd use to show that this does not fit into Scripture?
So biblical examples to show that the old Earth view does not fit into Scripture. I'd say the biggest one, and I'd phrase it like this. You're right. This is not essential to salvation. What I would say is that the old earth, young earth issue is essential to the doctrine of salvation. And let me explain what I mean. Because the question we have to ask is, why did Jesus come and die on the cross? Well, he came and died on the cross because of the sin of mankind. Well, where did that sin of mankind get started? Well, it started with Adam in the Garden of Eden. So if we're consistent with the Bible and we want a consistent doctrine, you cannot have Adam being made, 40,000 years ago and then Jesus Christ coming 2,000 years ago. That doesn't fit with Scripture. It also doesn't fit with death coming into the world with Adam, because people that believe in an old earth have to have animals and people alive before Adam. They have to have these beings that die, that live and die. They also have a problem scientifically, because we find disease and thorns in the fossil record. Well, if that fossil record is millions of years old, well, that does not agree with what the Bible says, that thorns are a result of the curse. The disease would not fit with what the Bible teaches. So you have a real problem here. And what I don't understand is, why would you add millions of years to the Bible? That's what doesn't make sense to me. The only reason to add millions of years is to try to compromise the perfect word of God with mankind, an infallible, fallible mankind and our current scientific thinking. I mean, 90% of what they thought was scientifically true 100 years ago, they now don't believe. 100 years before that, 90% of what they thought was true, they didn't believe 100 years later, 100 years ago. So why would we compromise a perfectly good book that's never been proven wrong with a theory or this idea that the earth is millions of years old, which has never been proven right? There are way too many things that go against the idea of millions of years.
Yeah, and one thing I'd mention, because like I said, actually not too long ago, I was speaking to an old earth creationist. And again, like I was saying, I didn't go like, no, this is something that you really need to look into, but I just gave him some information. One thing that I thought was really interesting is bringing it to Jesus and saying, well, Jesus believed in the young earth. They're like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, he was a young earth creationist. What do you mean? Well, I mean, he quotes both, I think it's Exodus and Genesis, when it refers to when it refers to the fourth commandment, I mean specifically, when it says that the fourth commandment, because God created the heaven and earth in 6 days, on the seventh day he rested, therefore on the Sabbath day you will, Christ mentioned that. Also, from the beginning he made the male and female for this reason, it was talking about divorce, but it was also talking about marriage, but he was quoting Genesis, talking about that. So Jesus believed Genesis. So why shouldn't we? So there's definitely
amen to that.
I think that there's no exegetical way to read Scripture and let Scripture speak for itself and come up with an old earth creation story. It's God's not going to have you need a decoder ring in order to read, the first chapter of Genesis or Genesis as a whole, even, or the Bible as a whole. I definitely think that's something that, again, isn't something you should die on the hill of, but it is very important, because otherwise, are you thinking that, did Jesus lie? Did Jesus get it wrong? It opens the door for some questions that might cause some issues. So,
absolutely, and that's where I go. It's sad to see so many church pastors today compromising on the basis of the Bible. It really is sad for me to see that. I wish that was not the case.
So Melissa, you had the next one.
I think the one you're talking about, something about personal, on personal level.
I was going to
I thought it was more controversial, so I'm not sure if you want to talk about that one. But you could ask you if you want.
Okay, yeah, no, we can save that one for last if necessary. Because we are kind of getting closer to the end of time, I suppose. I guess on kind of a personal level, I've experienced, you know, ridicule from unbelievers. I'm not even visible in the public eye all that much. I know that you very much are. In fact, I've had gone into the comments on the videos you post on YouTube and seen just some of the vitriol that people, you know, dump in your direction, Eric. And I would love to know how you deal with such ridicule.
Yeah, good question. There's a couple things that I try to keep in mind because it does mm-hmm. get very tiresome to hear them say mm-hmm. the things they say and do the things they do consistently. So I can certainly understand that. Here's some things I keep in mind. And when I lose focus of this, I really end up having a hard time. I keep in mind, number one, if it wasn't for the grace of God in my life, I would mm-hmm. be that person ridiculing the Christian. I would be the person making fun of the guy trying to do what's right. I would be the scoffer. I would be the scorner. So, mm-hmm. I have to remind myself, I was just thinking about this morning. I'm not better than anybody else, but I am mm-hmm. infinitely better off than those that have not trusted Christ. You know, Christianity has been described before as one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And that's all I mm-hmm. have. I just happen to know where to find bread. It's in Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Anyone who comes to the Father must come through him. And whosoever calls mm-hmm. upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find that bread of life. Another thing mm-hmm. I try to keep in mind is that, not only would I be that individual, I would be the mm-hmm. one making fun of me. But just because we're right, the Bible tells us when we defend our faith, it says, be ready always to give an answer to anybody mm-hmm. that asks a reason of the hope that's in us with meekness and fear. Then he said, make sure and do this with gentleness and with respect. And so mm-hmm. I've got a command from God to make sure mm-hmm. that when I talk to these people, even though they're making fun of me, make sure that I'm responding in kindness, with gentleness, and with respect. So mm-hmm. I try to keep those things in mind as I look at all the swear words and what they call me and the things like that. And I just try to think through that and be consistent.
Okay. What about unbelievers who don't even think about the Christian position is worth hearing? What do you do with that?
Say that one more time.
What about unbelievers who don't even think the Christian position is worth hearing?
Yeah, if they don't think it's worth hearing from me, then, you know, obviously I'm going to try to tell them, but if they really want to shut me out, they can do that. There comes a point where there's not much I can do. I'm not allowed to physically shake them. I'm not allowed to physically slap them. But I know that they're on their way to an eternal torment. I know that they're walking toward a cliff. So since I can't mm-hmm. slap them with my hand or tackle them with my body, I slap mm-hmm. them with my words, and I try to get them to wake up and see what's coming. I wrestle them intellectually instead of wrestling them with my body. I wrestle with them intellectually and go, please, please don't go down this road. It's a mm-hmm. dark road that you're heading down. Please, for the sake of your eternal future, understand and hear mm-hmm. the things of Christ. But not everybody's going to hear. And I have to realize that that's not my responsibility. The responsibility mm-hmm. is the Holy Spirit's to convert the heart. So Amen. I can teach, I can preach, but I can't convert anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's up to God.
Yeah. One of the last questions that I want to ask, it's more controversial, so it's all right if you don't want to answer it, if you don't mind. This one is talking about King James only is controversy. It's up to you if you want to talk to. It's okay if you don't.
What's my view on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, as a ministry, Creation Today actually doesn't take a stand. We look at that and consider that a secondary doctrinal issue. I've got friends that are big-time King James only. I've got friends that are totally opposite. I've got friends that are in the middle. I would, you know, me personally, I am, I guess you could call me King James preferred. I grew up on the King James Bible. I use the King James Bible. I'm not against somebody using a different translation. I'd rather them read another translation than read some of the, you know, the other secular literature that's out there. I think you can get saved even if you've never seen a King James Bible. You know, the big thing for me would be other countries where the Bible has been translated into Russian or Chinese or Japanese, things like that. You know, they don't have a King James Bible. So, you know, what are they supposed to do? So the beautiful thing is there's no doubt God has preserved his word, and I'm so thankful that he's done that. And which version you use, I'll leave that up to you. I use the King James, but I'm not going to – that's a secondary doctrinal issue on, you know, is that the only one we should ever use or things like that.
Vincent, you have any final questions for him?
Well, not that I can think of, and also, you know, we've been on for an hour, so I don't want to, you know, take up any more of Eric's time, because I know...
Well, is there anything else you would like to say before you go, Eric?
Well, Melissa and Vincent, thank you guys so much for giving me the privilege of talking to you today, and I pray that for your listeners, this was a blessing and this was encouraging to hear. I do have a lovely wife and three kids that have dinner ready for me at home, so I do look forward to going home and eating with them. It is always, it's a joy of my evening is leaving the office.
Thank you. We appreciate you being on a lot, very much.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you.
Oh, our privilege.
Okay.
So thank you for spreading the word about the Creation Today show and about the Genesis movie. I'm really excited about that. I'm thrilled to hear that you guys are excited about it as well.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I've actually got a 3D TV, so I'm looking forward to maybe being able to see it in actual 3D if I can't see it in theaters.
Oh yeah, man, it's believe me, I already watched it on a 3D TV here. The ports that he gives me, and it is great. It is fantastic.
Awesome.
Well, bye for now, and thank you very much. Like I said before, Eric Colvin, and for CreationToday.org, and with the Genesis 3D movie, check that out when it finally comes out. Or you could also give to it. What was the website again for a
creation? GenesisMovie.com.
Okay, thank you. And bye for now, Eric.
Awesome. Melissa and Vincent, thank you guys so much. God bless you today.
Yeah, God bless you too.
Okay. Hi, Vincent, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No. I wanted to thank Eric again, you know, for being on here. It was a real blessing to have him on here, and to learn more about, you know, the Genesis 3D movie and whatnot, and even get a little bit more in depth into or get some advice from him even, you know. I thought it was very nice of him to you know, take time out of his busy day in order to, you know, be interviewed on some small radio show.
I thought he was gonna there's so many questions that you had. I thought we weren't gonna get through all, but he's like man. He's pretty quick to speak and to come out with their thing he did and said.
I mean, he's like I said before, he's a much better oration than I am, you know.
Well, he speaks well, orator.
Yep.
Especially than me.
he speak good.
Yeah. I know that's what I'd say. Good. No, it's your say well, but it's good. I say good.
I was doing that on purpose.
He speak good for me.
Yeah, exactly. good words. But
going with the evolution thing.
Amen.
We're with the dinosaurs. Hello. Get over it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I'm very glad that he was
Yeah, I appreciate
that.
I'm
very glad that he was here.
Okay, go ahead. What are you going to say? Sorry.
I'm very glad that he was able to, come out here, and we were able to kind of pick his brain a little bit and learn more about his perspective and what's going on with his ministry and whatnot. And again, I don't know if we can mention this enough. If you don't know about the Creation Today ministry, definitely check them out. There's something there for everybody. Something's there for kids, for adults, and that. So basically everyone from 0 to 150, well, maybe
the
more,
show
I guess,
you
if you're older than that.
You mentioned there the show. Is that video or audio or both that you were talking about earlier?
Which one? Which video?
It was. You said that you watched something from creationtoday.org, like that they have like a kind of a show, like a video, maybe it's radio, video, I'm not sure. You mentioned it when you were talking to...
Yes, well, what I do is I mainly watch it through video. Like, I just go directly to their website, or I'll also sometimes catch them on YouTube as well. If you just do a search for, Creation Today on YouTube, there will be a video. Creation Today on their website, as Eric said, you can just go to the video section. If you just go to creationtoday.org, there will be a nice little bar up at the top that says, has a bunch of different stuff you can choose from. One of them will be videos. From there, you'll choose a Creation Today show or whatnot, or see their blog and stuff like that.
I don't think I watched his show yet.
Oh, I definitely recommend
it. Oh, I just learned about it. I want to check it out.
Oh, there you go. Well, then I'm even happier that Eric came on here, because you're going to be getting a lot of really cool stuff. by being
able a little
to
bit,
that.
But not much.
Yeah, so that's actually what I was referring to when I was talking about the Battleship Apologetics, or what was referred to as Ship
SHIP. Yeah, he actually mentioned it himself. Yeah, you didn't have to ask it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I definitely recommend starting with, pretty much starting anywhere would be good for the show, but if you can start with, like you were saying, Season 5 is going on right now, and if you can go with, the SHIP Battleship Apologetics, that's a really, really good thing to start with, because that'll help equip you to be able to always be, and again, people always start with, always be ready to have a reason defense, an apologia for the faith, the hope that is within you. They oftentimes leave off the first part, which I'm very, I always want to add on there, just because it's set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. Start with that first. Then always be ready. But I think that it's they do such a really good job of explaining things and going from one topic to the next topic and covering them very well. I mean, Eric did a very good job of condensing all that when I asked him about Battleship Apologetics and giving a rundown of that. And when you asked about in SHIP, is there anything that's more important? You did a very good job of doing a quick rundown of that, but if you want to get a really in-depth view on that, an in-depth explanation of that, most definitely check out the Creation Day show off of... looks like I'm getting some feedback, but I'll keep going. The Creation Day show, look into, creationday.org and look into the Battleship Apologetics episodes, because that'll give you a really long... an in-depth look at those things. But the cool thing is, they're like, half-hour program, so it's not like, a really long thing. You're not going to be sitting there for an hour and a half listening to stuff, unless you want to. I mean, you can listen to three episodes in a row if you want to, because it's worth it, trust me.
Yeah, I usually listen to Retro Radio, and that's like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, with this, it'll be, smaller bites that you can take it in, and still very good sound doctrine, and good approaches that they have with that, with the, under, I guess, the umbrella of Battleship Apologetics that they're doing. So.
Okay, so I guess that's all for now. Glad you're able to talk to him. I think you're a bigger fan than I am of Eric. I don't like him, and it's probably a bigger fan.
I think. Yeah, I think that's because, I guess both his father and him, they've had a decent influence on my life. You know, like I said earlier on in my life, I was, you know, in my teens when I saw Kent Hovind, you know, for the first time, actually like right there in my church. So
yeah,
so that was,
yeah,
that was really cool.
I knew about him more too. Like they called him Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Dino, so I knew more about
Dr.
him.
Dino.
I think. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, and then, well, the thing is, and the crazy thing is that when I was looking for his videos specifically,
yeah.
This was like back in, I think, 2009 or something, that was when I really learned about Eric's ministry, Creation Today. So I think I tried to go to drdino.com at that point in time, and it brought me to Creation Today, which I don't think it does that anymore, I don't think, but I don't know. Either way, I found Eric's ministry, and immediately, I think one of the first videos I watched was, like I mentioned before, the stuff that he did with Cy Ten Brueggenkate about presuppositional apologetics. So it was, I think, really God's timing for me to be looking into that stuff, and you know, found presuppositional apologetics at that point. So again, I mean, and again, like I said, that was the first time I've been introduced to that. So
You accidentally said .com. It's actually .org because I tried .com.
Oh.
It goes to a different website. So right now, make sure you go to
creationtoday.org.
Yep,
sorry about that.
Yes, okay.
Yep. Sorry about
there,
that, listeners.
The right
yes, it is creationtoday.org. Sorry about that. And sorry, Eric, as well, if he's listening at this point.
Yeah, O-R-G.
But, yes, .org, creationtoday.org. creationtoday.org. So, go there now. I'd say that, you know, being introduced to presuppositional apologetics, really, though I had, you know, good doctrine before, there were certain things in my life that were, you know, askew, I would say, and presuppositional apologetics, having that introduced to me, really shook, you know, kind of rattled things a bit and knocked everything into place. I'm like, oh, now everything fits. Oh, my gosh. And now I'm seeing in Scripture, it's right there. So it's like I got introduced to the concept, went to Scripture, and went, oh, my gosh, it's all in here. How did I not see this before? So I think that might be why I'm more of a fan than you are, if only slightly.
I'm assuming that was your first interview, too, so I'm glad you got to do that, too.
Yeah, my first. Well, I don't know if it was my first interview ever, because I think I've, like, asked people questions before. But definitely.
A formal interview, like, that it was, like, planned, and we did it, and
yes.
It got done.
Yes, well, and it was also, you know, most definitely the very first interview that's public, you know, that's right here on the show that anybody can listen to. Most
Total
definitely
radio.
The first one of those. Yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
Be Total Radio, remember.
And that one's .com, right?
Yeah, that one is .com.
So I got that one right. Just
.com.
Just not the creationtoday.org. So there we go.
Yeah.
We're all fallible, even me.
Especially you.
Yeah, especially me. I'm the most fallible. That's why you're here, Melissa. And that's Eric was talking about how you're a lovely woman. You're infallible. that's you're there to catch my mistakes.
I would say
and make sure,
I'm wretched.
Yeah, there you go. But no, you're there to catch my mistakes. I'm there to catch your mistakes. We're here to support each other. So
yeah, and I switched the question around. I switched the question around to be the last one because I thought that'd be like better. Well, you did too, but
yeah. Yep.
So
yeah, no,
and some of them, like some of the stuff he already said by himself, I think that you kind of were thinking too, like. To ask him, like, about the show and things. Oh, the 3D movie. I didn't know until you told me about it that there's going to be a 3D movie, and that's a the whole thing is a great idea all around because, yeah, there's so many, like you said, like on the Discovery, like say like History Channel or something like that, they'll have all these ones that support evolution, and then you're like, oh no, these people are watching this, believing this, and now we have something to go against that one. I mean, it's
Yeah, it's really done well, and I really, really hope that that God blesses Eric's ministry with this.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, there's been a lot of people working on it for a really long time, you know, raising support for this, and I really hope that, you know, that, that God brings in so much from this that it, you know, rattles our nation, you know, everyone who actually learns about it. Maybe it'll be in theaters and they'll go in and see it and whatnot and not exactly know what's going on. You know, but hey, it's in 3D, so why not, you know? But, you know, I really hope that that maybe even that this will contribute, because I think there's been an inflow of at least some, I mean, there's been some attempts at having good, you know, Christian movies out there. There have been some good attempts, some that not so good attempts, you know, and some that were, you know, completely off the wall, like Noah. But
wow.
But
that
wasn't
way, they're like Christian. That was like
no. Well,
totally.
That's why I was saying that one was really off the wall. But still,
yeah, they added
technically
stuff that wasn't even in the Bible.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I was saying. It was completely off, or that it was off the wall. I suppose I didn't say completely off the wall, but yeah, it's really off the wall because it's, you know, quote unquote based on the Bible. But yeah, I mean, what I was trying to say is that I think that I really hope that God will use this to really reinforce that when there are good, biblically based Christian movies or Christian-based movies that are out there, that they prosper, that God prospers them, that God provides for them, that they make a lot of money. So hopefully, you know, maybe Hollywood will go, hey, wait, they only spent how much on this and they made how much on it? Whoa.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be doing what they're doing. What did they do? And maybe they'll go to Eric and they'll ask, you know, what exactly did you guys do? Well, we went to, you know, we went to the Bible, you know, and did a good biblical movie. Here, let me give you an example. You know, who knows? I mean, I just really hope that God uses this in every way possible to reach people for Christ, you know, to reach, to save souls, you know.
Or do like what,
well, I know that
you,
God,
like,
God's going to be the one saving souls, but the means, essentially, the means by which God will use.
Yeah, because like you said, someone saw like a VHS tape, and those aren't even in right now. They saw the VHS and tape and watched that. So maybe somebody watch a DVD of 3D, Genesis 3D. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's going to look, I mean, as Eric said, I've seen like some small clips and whatnot, not in 3D. They look really cool. So I'm really, really looking forward to the movie coming out.
Did you get
out,
to see the update yet? It says the Christmas update that I was mentioning earlier. It's on their website.
Now, was this one that came out just recently?
Yeah, it says Christmas update. That's all I know. I don't know how long it's been there.
Yeah, well, I might have, depending on when the video came out, because I've seen a couple updates in the past. But if it's more of a brand new one, I don't think I've seen that one yet. So I'll probably be looking into that after the show's over.
I think the website is Genesis Street. I'm gonna check it. I'm gonna make sure it's right. Let's see.
Yeah, it's definitely a www.genesismovie.
No, that's a different one. Maybe it's .org. He said it a while ago, but I forgot again. Let me see.
Genesismovie.com. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it's called, genesismovie.com. Sorry, I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
Genesis, it's not even hard to remember, but I just keep forgetting. genesismovie.com. So check that out. And
yeah,
I guess we're about done for now. So, well, once again, thanks to Eric Holman again. And thank you, Vincent, mm-hmm. for helping me out. You're mostly the one that did most of it. You know, we still did tag team with the questions.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a list for everybody to know. There was a list. So I think one of them I actually did wrong because I was supposed to, you were supposed to say it, and then I ended up saying it. So that was funny.
It's fine. It all worked out in the end. You know, I think it was interesting that you earlier on, people don't know about this, but like we had a big list of the questions, and Melissa's like, well, I don't know if we're gonna need all the questions because you know there's a ton of them. So it was like, and
about
it worked out
just
perfectly.
Right. Out of time, yeah.
Yep.
Just
almost to the minute. So that was God. That was God timing.
Yeah, I know. That was funny.
Mm-hmm. So even you reading
through them all.
Yep. And even you reading, you know, a different question, you know, that added to it being, you know, basically perfect timing. We were able to let Eric go almost to the minute of, you know, an hour in. So
yeah, and you guys don't know. I prayed before the show happened, so. Yeah, I pray for it to go all right. So thanks to God.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all for now. And we're going to go out with Yancy and Friends with the VIVLE. Bye for now. The VIVLE.